1, beginning with verse 15. I hope you all have plans for today and are looking forward to getting out and spending time with your mom, and I promise to have you out of here by 2 o'clock. You know, sometimes when we work on illustrations for a sermon, it's easy to think of things from your own life, or in my case, the church. And there are some subjects that it's best to work outside of the local congregation. So let me just mention that this opening illustration is from outside of the local church. I read this from a pastor this week. He said, Thursday night, I went to my son's ball game. I sat on the top row of the bleachers where I usually sit. A friend of mine named Billy came up and sat down beside me, and we began talking. A few minutes later, his wife Teresa entered the stands. He waved at her, and she waved back. Then he said, "Why don't you come sit up here with us?" Usually that's what she does. She shook her head and said, "No thanks." As she found a seat several rows away from us, I saw the pain in Billy's eyes. He looked at me and said, "It's over. We're getting divorced. I'm moving out tomorrow." I said, "Billy, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you sure it's really over?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm positive. She told me she doesn't want me there anymore." Billy talked about it for a few more minutes, then said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything I've built my life around is falling apart." For several minutes, I sat there silently, wondering what to say. You know, I've known Billy for years. Our kids have played ball together since they were in first grade. He's a very likable guy, what Southerners refer to as a good old boy. He's not religious, though he attends church regularly, every Christmas and Easter. In fact, Billy considers it a good weekend if he catches something in the water, shoots something in the woods, and punches someone in a bar. That's his idea of recreation. You know, as I read this story, I began to think of today's message, which I'd been working on all week. And you know, I've read these verses in Colossians so many times that I practically have them memorized. And as I mentally reviewed this passage, I began to realize what Paul is saying about Jesus. And these few verses provide the solution to the problems in our lives, if only we will accept it. I thought of you, the people in this congregation, and the struggles that you're going through. Some of you are in the midst of crumbling marriages. Some of you are facing financial crisis. Some of you are struggling with sin, guilt, and despair. I want you to know that what today's text says about Jesus can make a tremendous difference in your life if you will accept it and act on it. We're in the third week of a series on the book of Colossians called Against the Tide. Colossians shows how to live a Christian life in a non-Christian environment. In week one, we looked at what's so great about being a Christian, and we saw how the Bible teaches that following Christ gives you a reason to be optimistic about life. Last week, we looked at what does it take to please God, and we saw that doing God's will is a matter of loving Him with all our soul, mind, heart, and strength. And today, we'll look at the difference that Jesus can make in your life. What Jesus can do for you. There are three things that Paul focuses on in this passage. Let's look at each one of them. First of all, Paul tells us that Jesus is your source of strength. Jesus is your source of strength. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you invite Him into your life and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you are not merely aligning yourself with a good teacher, nor are you merely choosing to adopt a certain belief system as your own. When you choose to follow Christ, you are connecting with the God of the universe, the creator of all things that exist, the one with more authority and power than any other in heaven or on earth. That's who Jesus is. Paul said in verses 15 and 16, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Paul is saying Jesus is supreme. He is above all. Above him, there is no other. He has ultimate power in the universe, and he is willing to share his power with us, to give us strength to live day to day. Jesus Christ is your source of strength. This means that you don't have to tackle life with your own limited abilities and power. Jesus makes his unlimited power available to you. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says, in Ephesians 3:20, he says, "Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Do you know what this means? It means with Jesus in your life, you cannot lose. And I want you to know the opposite is also true. Without Jesus in your life, you cannot win. There's a phenomenon we see in sports from time to time. You know, one player can have such an impact on a team that he becomes pivotal in their ability to win or lose. This is exactly what happened to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos won their second consecutive Super Bowl in 1999. Between that season and the next, there was only one significant personnel change in Denver. John Elway retired. The next year, they began the season with four straight losses and finished the season with a dismal 6-10 record. With Elway, they couldn't lose. Without him, they couldn't win. That's the difference that he made on that team. In the same way, having Jesus in your life gives you a key player advantage. With him, you cannot lose. He is supreme. He is above all things. His power is greater than that of any other in heaven and earth. And the amazing thing about all of this is that the one who created the universe and set the moon and sun and stars into motion is willing to be part of your life and to give you the strength that you need to face day to day the challenges and trials of your life. In Psalms, David wrote in Psalm 18, David wrote, "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my ways blameless." This is what Jesus can do for you. He can give you an advantage in life that you would not have otherwise. He can be your source of strength for today. And secondly, he can hold your life together when it seems to be falling apart. He can hold your life together when it seems to be falling apart. Something that I have learned in my 30 years in ministry is, in spite of how things appear to be, no one has everything completely together 100% of the time. Everyone's life unravels before their eyes at some point. This includes celebrities and sports stars and business professionals and church people and ministers. Everybody. Sometimes it unravels because of sin, and sometimes it unravels because of circumstances beyond your control. But whatever the cause, if you turn to Jesus, He can hold your life together, even when it seems to be falling apart. Some of you may be facing this right now. You know, maybe your marriage is on the rocks right now, and maybe it's all your fault. Or maybe it's not your fault. Regardless of the cause of that chaos in your life, Jesus can hold it together. Maybe you're facing a financial crisis, and maybe it's your fault. Or maybe it's not your fault. Regardless of the cause of the chaos in your life, Jesus can hold it together. If you will turn to Him, He has enough power and enough compassion to see you through any challenge that you face. Notice what Paul said in verse 17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Paul's referring to the fact that Jesus controls all of creation. And if He can keep the universe under control, He can control the chaos of your day-to-day life. As I said, maybe your life is unraveling because of sin. If that is the case, even if you have sinned and made a mess of everything, you don't have to face the future without Him. You can be forgiven. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the Greek, do you know what the word all means? It means all. He will purify you from all unrighteousness. That means whatever mistakes you have made, whatever sins you have committed, whatever garbage you have accumulated in the past, Jesus will cleanse every bit and wipe it away forever and ever. And as you face chaos in your personal life, Jesus will protect you every step of the way. The poem Footprints has been overused to the point of being a parody, but there's truth in it. Do you remember how it goes? You know, the narrator has a dream and he sees only one set of footprints in the sand during the roughest times of his life. And he thinks those were the times that he walked alone, but Jesus said to him, no, those were the times that I carried you. This is what Jesus can do for you. Even when your life is seemingly out of control, He can hold things together. In 1994, Michael English was on top of the Christian music world. He had a top-selling Christian album. He was performing sold-out concerts, and he had just been named Artist of the Year at the Gospel Music Association Awards ceremony. And then his life unraveled in a sexual scandal. He gave up the awards, and he left gospel music. He thought he would never again have anything to do with Christianity, that he had failed beyond repair. And even though he had quite a bit of success as a country artist, his personal life was in shambles. Yet during this time, Jesus never left him. Through God's unwavering love and the love of a few Christian friends, Michael was eventually able to come back to his relationship in Christianity. He came back into the ministry singing Christian music again, and he even came to a place where he had his own show on TBN. The heart of his message today is that when you fail God, God won't fail you. He can hold things together in your life even when your entire world is falling apart. Whether the problems in your life are a result of sin or circumstances beyond your control, you can be sure that Jesus can restore sanity to your life if you turn to Him. He can carry the weight of the world on His shoulders. He can and He will carry you if you let Him. And then third, He can give you peace with God and with yourself. I was leading a Bible study once and asked the group, if you could ask God for anything at all, what would it be? A girl in the group answered, one day of peace. One day of peace. I was counseling a young man once and he said to me, if I could just experience one day of peace in my life, I think I could get some perspective on my problems. Buck Showalter, the manager of the Baltimore Orioles, is famous for how he deals with wins and losses when his team gets a day off. And when the press is hounding him about the next game or series, he responds, today is a day off. We will deal with that tomorrow. Recently, I read that a West Coast doctor took an informal poll among his patients to find out what wish each would make if his wish were granted. 87% said that peace of mind was more important than anything else. Peace of mind. For people whose lives are filled with turmoil, even one day of peace seems beyond reach. The good news is that Jesus wants to fill your life with peace every day, day after day, from now on. He said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He also said in John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In the book of Philippians, Paul says that when we turn everything over to Christ, we will experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4:7. And in the book of Colossians, today's text, he says in verse 19, for in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Excuse me. It's interesting to me that he's writing this in a little background about the book of Colossians. Paul never went to Colossus. Paul did not carry the gospel to Colossus. Two other men did. Two disciples of Paul. And now Paul's in prison in Rome, and these two guys come to Rome, and they tell him what's going on in Colossus. And they're very concerned. They come and say, listen, the Colossians have got off base. And they are now in this mindset that unless you learn certain secrets, certain religious secrets, you're not really saved. That Jesus was not enough. And they'd kind of gotten caught up in two groups, the Jewish Essenes, which were like John the Baptist, where they were saying, unless you lived completely devoid of the things of this world, and then you couldn't get into heaven. And then the beginning of Gnosticism, the Gnostics of that day, who were saying, listen, Jesus is just the beginning of the gospel. Unless you learn the secret things of God, you can't really be a Christian. And he's writing back to him saying, no, Jesus Christ is the head of all things. By him all things were made. Apart from him was nothing made. He is triumphant. So in our lives, we often think, man, if I could just learn the secret. You know, I've always said, if I could only understand the secret of women, I would be able to get through life a little. You know, how do they, what, how, what? But see, Jesus is enough. I don't need the secret. There isn't some other thing. If I could just get to some other thing. It's not. And that's what he's trying to deal with there. When he's saying this, that for in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So in our lives, he begins by giving you peace with God. Paul says that once you were alienated from God because of our evil behavior, and now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death in order to present you as holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Notice that Paul does not say you were alienated from God and then through your good works or through your ability to learn these secret things, you are now able to get right with God, and you are now holy and blameless. He said that you became holy and blameless because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And the separation that existed between you and God was abolished once and for all. When you put your faith in Christ, you have peace with God. And no one can take that away. I love trees. I love spring. I don't love the fact that my black car looks yellow. Or that breathing becomes such a challenge. When you put your faith in Christ, you have peace with God. God is not angry with you. He has not hidden the way to him from you. And no one can take that away. And secondly, he also gives you peace with yourself. He gives you peace with yourself. You don't have to feel guilty about the past because we all know you have sinned. But the one you have sinned against, God, he's forgiven you. You don't have to be fearful of the future because the one who controls the future is taking care of you. Regardless of what has happened in the past and regardless of what may happen tomorrow, you can live today knowing that God has made everything right and that he is in control of your life. And when you accept his forgiveness, it becomes possible to forgive yourself. I've had so many people come into my office and just say, I just can't forgive myself. I just can't, you know. I just can't believe that God could forgive me for that. Well, it's just not true. And actually, the statement in and of itself is a sin. It's saying that my sin is so bad that the blood of Christ is not sufficient to cover it. There is no sin. You know, as I'm studying this particular book and thinking about Paul writing this book, think about who Paul is. He's Saul of Tarsus. He's the murderer of the Christians. Now, he didn't just go out and try to murder the apostles. He went out and murdered entire families. Husbands, wives, and children. He was in the business of trying to eradicate Christianity. He was so zealous for the things of God that he just was trying to wipe out anybody who was a follower of what they called the way. That's who's writing this to us. Wanting us to understand that God can forgive us. I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what you're struggling with. But I do know that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover all of your sins. Whatever your sin is, if you'll repent of them, if you will allow him to, he will bring forgiveness into your life. And you need to understand, he's not mad at you. We've been made right with God. When you give your life to Christ, fear, turmoil, and chaos can become a thing of the past. You don't have to live your life thinking that you are on your own, because his power and his strength are available to you. Now, I'm not saying that if you will accept Jesus Christ, you will never have another trial or tribulation. I'm not trying to say to you, look, if you'll just accept Christ, everything comes up flowers. You know, come on, you know, you'll go to whatever restaurant you're going to today, and the line will part for you. You know, I mean, they are just waiting to wait only on you. The cook was up last night thinking about what you should have for Mother's Day today, if you'll just accept Christ. No, that's not what I'm saying. No, in this life we have trials and tribulations, but what I am saying is that we can be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. He is on your side. He understands. He is working with you. He is there. You don't have to live your life thinking that you are on your own, because he has made his strength available to you. You don't have to live your life feeling as everything is spinning out of control, because he can and will hold things together for you. You don't have to live your life overcome with worry and turmoil and anxiety, because he will fill your life with peace. I think one of the beautiful things about Christianity is we can come to a place of realizing we are not citizens of this world. We are merely passing through. And this life is but a breath. You know, the life to come is what we are living for. This life might be 70, 80, 90 years, but in light of eternity, he says it's like the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. We know the one who holds the future and who holds all things together. Paul tells us that Jesus is the creator of the universe, the head of the church, the very fullness of God. I mean, this means something to each of us on a very personal, intimate level. It means that he has power that is available to you, and that he will fill you with the strength and the hope and the peace to face that situation that you're going through. It's not that he wipes out the situation. No, it's that he goes through the situation with you. He empowers you to face that situation with the hope and the assurance that in this world, trials and tribulations, but he has overcome the world. It's the fact that we can look at Romans 8 and know that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It means that in this life, no matter what's going on around me, it really doesn't matter. As we watch the ISIS thing and the craziness, and we see fear sweep across our world, we of all people should rise up and say, I am not afraid. I'm of good cheer, for my God has overcome the world. No matter what your situation, no matter how dire, no matter what the doctor said, no matter what your accountant said, no matter what your spouse said, he has overcome the world. He has a plan for you, and that plan is to bless you, to do good to you, to see you prosper, and have everlasting life. The question then is how? How do I experience God's strength in my life? And the answer is incredibly simple. You only have to ask. If you surrender yourself to him saying, God, I can't do this without your help. God, I need your strength. You can count on him to be there. Remember, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you until the very end of the age. He will not let you down. He will carry you through. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Mother's Day. We thank you for moms. We thank you that they are the ones who picked us up when we fell down. We thank you that they nurtured and loved us and cared for us. But God, more importantly, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who, while we were yet sinners, while we were in the business of rejecting him and hating him, he died for us. And he made a way for us where there seemed to be no way. So God, as we face the difficulties of our life, as we feel the waves crashing over us, we are reminded that Jesus Christ holds all things together. That you are in control. That we are in the very palm of your hand, and that you promised us that no man could snatch us from your palm. We thank you, God, that in a season in our world that seems to be out of control, that we know you are in control. So we would pray, God, that you would help us to not just see with our physical eyes, but to see the things of the Spirit. That you would give us spiritual eyes to see what you are doing in this present day. And we would pray, Father, that we truly would be witnesses of your peace and strength in this dying world. For it is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.